Father, we thank you for Dave and for all that he has done for us as our leader. And thank you for all things you've done in him. And just pray now that he'd be receptive to your words and your leading. And please make us receptive to your word through Dave. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Today, I would like to talk about going through tough times. I'd like to talk a bit about suffering, and it's not something that we usually talk about, but I just thought it would be good to talk about it today. We often tell stories in church about what God's doing, what God has done. We'd like to tell testimonies because, you know, we build faith that way, and it's really important that we have faith and that we're operating from a place of encouragement, and we feel like, yeah, God's on the move and all that kind of stuff, rather than discouragement. And so that's why we tell stories. But that often means that the majority of communication from the front is all good stories and good communication, which can leave us, I suppose, maybe feeling like pain isn't recognized in the way that it sometimes needs to be. It's great to tell stories about what God's doing, but we also just really need to be aware of the fact that as a community, life is often really overwhelming for a lot of people in the church, and there's a lot of pain in the church. And I had this picture as I was preparing, and I kind of thought, you know what, there's a danger that church kind of almost becomes a catwalk, showing off, good stuff from the front while people just in the audience are sitting there just feeling a bit second class, a bit, insecure or whatever, because that's the catwalk, isn't it? And that's never our intention, of course. Our intention is always just glorifying God and building up the saints and, all that kind of good stuff. But actually, there is a danger that without kind of talking, addressing the issue of sufferings and pain, it goes in that direction rather than, church being a hospital, which I think it should be. Jesus says it's the sick that needs a doctor. It's not just a hospital, we're more than that, but I'm just saying we've got to get the balance right. And today I want to try and speak into that, that other side of things. And also, nobody wants to be a mood killer. We're about trying to have a good vibe in church, some good songs, and no one wants to kind of be the mood killer in church. And so that's why often you have it from the front. You don't want to go hey, everyone, let's praise God. Well, just want to let you know, everyone, I'm just really been struggling with depression this week. And everyone's like, yeah, let's worship. that's not how the social dynamic works, if you like. And so, but then the danger is, of that is that you feel like you can't come to church if you're in a bad place. You can only come to church if you're in a good place with God, or if you're in a good place in life. And if you're in a bad place, you better stay home because you don't want to be the mood killer. And it's all about the good stories of what God's doing. Whereas the reality is it should be totally the opposite way around, is that you should come to church when you are in a bad place, because it should be the perfect place to be. So if our faith doesn't have space for suffering in the hard times, I'm not sure it's a very robust faith. And I think it is robust enough to handle the sufferings and the hard times. And in fact, I think that's where our faith really comes into its own. Our faith is about when we're drowning in the waters and we don't know where help's going to come from and the waves are chopping. Jesus comes down and he grabs us by the scruff of our necks in his life raft and he pulls us out. That's when we're shrouded in darkness, Jesus is the light which flickers on and gives hope on a deep level to our, souls, which are kind of just searching for, a glimmer of light, when it feels like darkness is all around. Our faith comes into its own when we're having a difficult time, rather than floundering when we're having a difficult time. So, question for everyone. I like to try and keep things interactive. I like to kind of try and make people think. It's less work for me. Who in the Bible went through tough times that you know of? Job, absolutely. Okay, one at a time, please. It's too much. David, yeah. Paul, wrote much of the New Testament in prison. David, you know, he got this call of God in his life. He'd been anointed to be king. He was totally rejected by his family. Struggled with depression, and rightly so, you know, because life is awful for him. He's hiding in caves for his life. You know, people are hunting him, want him dead. Who else?
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, that the juxtaposition of the fact that, you know, Jesus starts, you know, goes in, what's it called? Palm Sunday. You know, Palm Sunday one day, the next day he's in Gethsemane, praying through the night, just crying, you know, crying out to God and needing his friends, saying, guys, stick with me. I need you to be with me tonight. You know, sweating blood, and, you know, that is just phenomenal. Low point. And it gets lower for Jesus, unfortunately. Then it gets higher, as we know. Yes. Who else?
Moses.
Yep. Just really feeling overwhelmed by leadership and just the task that God's given him, and not having everyone grumbling, just feeling totally overwhelmed and alone, I think, a lot of the time in his role. Sorry? All of the prophets. Abraham and Sarah going for years without, like, you know, the God's promises. You know, God, I thought you said this. You know, without God's promises being fulfilled. Mary, you know, being stigmatized and having to carry that thing, you know, that she knew God had spoken, but who believed her? I bet hardly anyone. I bet everyone thought she was a bit of a nut, to be honest.
See him die.
Yeah, to watch your son die. Judas, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty heavy one. You know, like the Bible is absolutely full of people who are the heroes of the faith, people who we look to for encouragement. The Bible is absolutely rammed full of people who went through absolute low points where they felt like God had absolutely deserted them, and rightly so. You know, it's a logical conclusion. But I'd say the reason why they're the heroes of the faith, and why the reason why they made it into the book, is because of the way they handled the low points. And I think the second conclusion that we could probably draw from that, which it speaks to us, is just because you're going through a hard time, just because I'm going through a hard time, just because it feels like God's abandoned you, if we look at all the lives of these countless people, I think we can conclude fairly safely that God hasn't abandoned us. If you want to turn to Romans 5, verse 3. It says that we are to exult in our tribulations. Who knows what exult means? It means to rejoice. I had to look it up in the dictionary. It means to rejoice in your tribulations, in your troubles, in your sufferings. What, you know, and this is actually is a theme of the New Testament. Quite a lot of the New Testament writers talk about that. You know, Jesus in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed, you know, are you when you're persecuted and all that kind of stuff. You know, the Bible refers a lot to difficult times. And just wondering, why does it say we should rejoice in our sufferings?
Because you have to rely on God.
Because it causes us to rely on God. That's a good one. Should we read out the whole thing? We'll go through to verse 5. Not only so, but also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering, it produces in us perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he has given us. I think there's basically something about hard times which enables something to be done inside of us which can't be done in any other way. I think there's a steel which can be forged in us which can't be done in any other way without, apart from going through difficult times. And the Bible says we should rejoice in it. yay, I'm having a hard time, woo! Thank you, Jesus! For me, recently, I went through a really just difficult time internally, and looking around the room, I know some of the stories of a lot of people in this room. It's probably nowhere near some of the low points that others in the room have had. But for me, it was a real low point. I was a few ministries which I kind of followed significantly in my early 20s. I'd given to, I'd listened to their teaching, I'd gone to their meetings, and just really been like learning from people. They basically went off the rails. And Bethel kind of sent out a notice saying, these people have, gone in a really dodgy direction. And that, really, really discouraged me. Other people who I'd connected with and had been kind of mentors to me for, a good chunk of my 20s, I'd really looked to, I'd met up with them and I'd seen them and I'd heard other stories from other people about them. And I just felt just so depressed by the way in which their lives had gone. And so that kind of like on one level just... gave me a sense of kind of just feeling quite discouraged. And then, a few people who I'd invested quite heavily into, like relationally, left the church. And I was just, that really was kind of like, man, that's annoying and discouraging. And then, just aware of, attendance going down on Sundays. And also just trying... identifying issues in the church, trying things, trying to solve those issues, and for whatever reason, those things not being sorted, and then not knowing how to fix them, just kind of resulted in a real, real deep sense of discouragement and kind of just having no confidence. And I'd basically lost all sense of confidence within myself as a leader, but also as just someone who can just come and just minister to people, pray for people or prophesy over people or whatever. And I'd be in like little meetings or whatever, and it would be like, right, who's going to pray for this person? And I'd just be like, I just can't. I've got like absolutely, nothing to give. And we went on holiday and I was thinking, right, I'm going to read a Christian book. But try and get into a good place. Come on, David, you know how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Come on. Just the thought of reading a Christian book made me feel physically sick. And then I felt really bad because I think, I'm supposed to be a church leader. And the idea of reading a Christian book makes me feel sick. Like, that's not good. Like, and I remember, Bruce. Talking to me, and we went on a bike ride together, and he was saying, Dave, all you need to do is you just need to follow God and we'll follow you. And I was going, that's great, Bruce. I have no idea where God is. It was as if the light of God had gone out. And, no matter where I looked, no matter what I tried, reading the Bible, listening to worship music, whatever I tried, it was as if, God had just completely disappeared. And so then you add all those things up together and you just question things on such a deep level. What am I doing with my life? Should I be doing this? I'm not in it for ego. What's best for the church? And it's absolutely exhausting. It's an exhausting process of constantly just analyzing and overanalyzing and trying to think through, how to, get into a place of strength again. And I said on holiday with Chloe, I was miserable for the first couple of days. I didn't realize I was being miserable, but she said, I keep talking to you, Dave, and you keep giving me one word answers. And I didn't realize I was doing that. And I said to her, do you think I'm going through the dark night of the soul? I'd read about this thing, the dark night of the soul. And I was like, maybe I'm going through but how dark does it need to be the dark night of the soul? That's the question. And I was saying, do you think I'm going through the dark night of the soul? How dark does it have to be? Is this dark enough to be the dark night of the soul? And she was like, I don't know. just be fun to be with, all right? We're on holiday, enjoy it. So anyway, I just kind of got through it and didn't read any Christian books and read books about Bear Grylls and loved it. Great book, True Grit. It's all about survival stories. I thoroughly recommend it. when I got back from holiday, just by God's grace to me, Jay Blake, and I had been crying out to God. I was like, God, I don't want to feel like this. Just trying to be real with God, just be real with where we're at. God's not interested in kind of pseudo, you know, deny yourself kind of, you know, not be real with your own, you know, thinking spirituality. I was just being real with God, going, God, I'm really struggling. I don't know how to get out of this place. What do? I need you to meet me because I've lost everything, you know, energy-wise. And anyway, so I got back from holiday and Jay Blake had posted on my Facebook this article, in God's Grace, about the dark night of the soul. And I thought, flipping heck, that's super encouraging. Thank you, Jay. I don't know if I was going through it, but God's meeting me where I'm at, you know, in my thinking. And it was just saying, you know, when the veil is down, and it feels like there's a veil between you and God, God's saying, you know, will you trust me? And say out loud, God loves me. And so I was just saying out loud, I was reading this thing, you know, by faith going, God loves me, you know. And yeah, so that was that. And then, you know, I was supposed to be leading the Sunday meeting on that Sunday. And I rang Colin on the Saturday and said, mate, look, I've got nothing to give. You need to come and lead the meeting at church. So he came and he did a great job. And that was the Sunday where Mark Simpson came and talked and he spoke from Gideon. And that morning, I went out and I just cried out to God in the woods. I went to the woods and I basically got my little Kindle and I've got the Passion Translation, which is a great translation of the Bible, which is really encouraging me at the moment. And I'll just read a chapter and then just walk and just think about the chapter, think about what I've read, just let it kind of ruminate in my thinking and in my heart and stuff like that, and I'll stop and then I'll read another bit, and then as soon as I read a bit that just kind of speaks to me, I'll go, okay, cool, and I'll just walk and pray and walk and pray. And I just remember crying out to God. I just, you know, in this field just going, God, you've got to turn the light back on, you know, this feels horrendous. I need to know that sense of nearness again. And and you know what? God met me in a powerful way on that Sunday at church. What Mark spoke about was about the Gideon thing. And then we did this little prophecy time where people kind of shared just what they felt, what they wanted to speak over one another. And some of it wasn't prophecy, some of it was just encouragement. And John said something fantastically, which spoke to me. And Joan Davenport, she came up to me and she went, you know, God says there's a veil between you and him, but he's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And that was just amazing. That week, I then spent some time with Colin and with Al and just talking things through with them and some really helpful stuff, and just realizing just with people often, just, you know, just hearing counsel of good friends and just helps to you see things differently. And sometimes when you speak it out and when you hear good counsel, you realize that sometimes you feel the highs too high and you feel the lows too low as well. And you kind of, it brings a bit of stability into things. Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. Totally run out of time. Hi, kids. two sex kids. Let me just finish where I'm going. Andy, after speaking with those guys, that was really helpful. Then Andy Reid came and encouraged me. It wasn't prophetic. It was just a genuine encouragement. Just said, Dave, I just want to say this to you. I just really think blah, 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 blah. And it was, you know, just simple words of a friend just spoke so deeply to me in the most profound way, which I don't think people realize sometimes. And this is a kind of a take-home point. I often don't realize how big of an impact our small words can have. I was in an absolute pit of despair within myself, trying to be real with where I'm at. And Jay Blake, just by faith, posting an article on Facebook, a random article, which is so random at any other time. Joan Davenport, you know, John, Andy, they're just minor things. They're just kind of normal words, but they spoke so deeply into my soul and gave me this feeling that God is with me. And it was God going, I'm with you, because they were things that no one could have known otherwise, but yet they spoke so profoundly. And I just want to say that is one of the vital importance of creating a culture of encouragement and a culture of edification and a prophetic culture, whereby we're just constantly on Sundays or when we see one another, we just say, you know what, I see this over you, or I just want to thank you for this, or you know what, God's saying this. And you sometimes it may not hit the mark, but other times it may just really just reach into those choppy waters and just pull them out. So I was going to do some more question and answers, but we don't have time for that. Some of the key points that I've kind of taken out is I need people more than I realise at times. Other people's talking to me and inputting into me, speaking prophetically to me, giving advice to me is so much more needed in my life than I think I realise at times. Second point, I think God allows us to go through tough times to let us grow strong. Not all things are from tough times are from God, but you know, there's a theme in the Bible of actually God allowing tough times, dark times, to actually build a strength within you so that you're stronger for next time. He never abandons us in those tough times. He never, ever abandons us in those tough times. He's always there. But someone said to me, you know, when is the time when a teacher is silent? When is the only time when a teacher is silent? When the student is in a test. Something about just embracing the process. And I think, lastly, and this I've kind of drawn this point out already, but it came from Kerry Davies. And I tried to put it into practice when I was going through this time. She said that basically when her baby son Ryan died, the last thing she wanted to do was spend any time with God, and the last thing she wanted to do was spend any time in church. All she wanted to do, God was there, she just wanted to go, stick two fingers up, and same to the church. But she knew, she operated out of principle in that darkest time. She said, you know what I just want to do? No, do you know what I'm going to do? And she'd just go and she'd sit in church and she'd just weep. She'd weep, you know, Sunday after Sunday, and she'd just get in the face of God and say, you know, God, I'm angry with you, I'm confused, but I'm going to make sure that I don't withdraw myself from you because I know that you're good, I know that you're for me, and all this kind of stuff. And that was the principle she operated from. And that, just when she told me that, I thought, flipping heck, that's phenomenal. And, you know, that's what I did. I cried out in that morning in the woods, and God heard my prayer. He's since come and filled me with light, filled me with love, filled me with that kind of new, fresh love for him, and love for, you know, feeling that kind of same love that, you know, it's just light has flooded me again. And he hears our cries, he hears our prayers. So when we're going through tough times, let's not draw away from church. Let's go to church, because we should be in the community that holds us and that lifts us up. And let's also not turn away from God, because he sees us every step of the way, and he's with us. Amen. Amen.
Do you want to say anything else?
That's it.